Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Jeremiah, chapter 3, we'll read verses 20 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Jeremiah, chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation from the hills, and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for such a great day. Lord, yesterday in men's prayer meeting, the men were scattered all over this building asking for you to be here, and you answered that prayer. Yet, we still stand before you needy, but we need you to do it again tonight. We need you to fill us in a way that has never been done before. Lord, our nation, our world is desperate for you. Fill our preach with your power so we could do something to fix that, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon title this evening, it's called Perverted Backsliding. I'm going to read again to you two verses. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:21, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. God used the prophet Jeremiah to pen these words. God is using him to warn and correct God's people. The people in this passage of Scripture are hurting. They are weeping. But the pain was predominantly self-inflicted as a result of their own personal backslidings. He uses the term in verse 21 that they had perverted their way. Then it is followed by the words they had forgotten the Lord, and he said, return, ye backslidden children. So he's saying, you perverted your way and you are backslidden. Then God said, I can heal your backsliding. Now, many times when we hear those words backsliding, we think of someone who is back to their old ways. Someone had gotten saved and they cleaned up their life and they went back to some of the things that used to be vices in their life. Things like the misuse of drugs, whether it's buying illegal drugs or it's misuse of prescription drugs. And just so you know, folks, I believe very, very strongly that sin's supposed to be named. This business of the candy-coated preaching of our day that wants to allude to wrong but not name wrong, sin's wrong. And we name sin around here. And the Bible teaches we're not supposed to be smoking drugs or doing drugs or buying drugs from drug addicts. But in this day and age, they say there are more teenagers that are getting drugs out of mom and dad's cabinet and taking them than they're buying them off the street. But if you backslidden to that point, that's wrong and that's sin. When we think of backsliding, we so often think of somebody maybe that's going back to the bottle. Maybe they're out drinking their booze or whatever, and they've gone back to the bottle. And Budweiser won't make you wiser, it'll make you dumber. They should have named the stuff Bud Stupider instead of Budweiser. But if you're back to that, that's sin, and you ought not be living that way. Maybe you've gone back to your immorality. And that, again, so often when you hear about the preaching on backsliding, you think of somebody that's going back to their drugs or back to their booze or back to their immorality. And you've heard me say it here 100 times, if I've said it 1,000 times. You're not to have a physical relationship with anybody that you're not married to. And there's some that have actually convinced themselves that it's okay as long as you don't commit the act of the consummating the marriage that it's okay to do anything else. Well, you're wrong about that. You got to keep your hands off of each other, and it's wrong. It's wrong to have a physical relationship with somebody that you're not married to. And so many times though, we hear that, and those are the kinds of things that we would consider backsliding, or maybe the stealing of the tithe, or nudity, or you used to be sucking down cigarettes, and you've cleaned up your life, and you've given that up, and now you're back sneaking behind the garage and smoking your Camels. Now let me tell you smoke Camels long enough, you'll end up with humps on your back. Also make your breath smell like you've been kissing on a Camel. But maybe you say, well, Brother Owens, when I hear about backsliding, those are the things that I think of, and indeed, those are things that we could be guilty of in our backsliding. Listen to these verses about backsliding. Hebrews 10:38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God is saying, don't draw back, folks. Don't draw back. Go forward. Jeremiah 2:19 says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee." The Bible says in Isaiah 1:4, it says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward." Those are verses about this thing of backsliding. In our text, though, in Jeremiah 3:21 and 22, God actually refers to this portion of backsliding. He calls it perverted. What did he mean by that? Not normal. Now, let me give you some thoughts about backsliding that maybe would not be what we'd call the normal thoughts of backsliding. I won't spend all night now preaching against booze and immorality and the stealing of the tithe and those sort of things. You might, though, want to see if you find yourself in this sermon that's not a normal sermon about backsliding. But I want you to listen to this sermon. I call it perverted backsliding. And I think sometimes we think backsliding is just exactly going back to some of the deepest and darkest of sins. And so, they're all deep and dark, and we ought not be committing any of them. Let me say this, and listen carefully this evening. Number one, I ask the question, are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Here, someone is backslidden. The Bible says a spiritual Christian should help to restore them. And then it actually even goes as far to say that it ought to be done with meekness. In other words, we as spiritual Christians are to restore the backslidden with a meek attitude, not with an arrogant, hateful way about ourselves. James chapter 5, verse number 20 says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Now, let me ask a question again. Are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? You see, now there's some of you, if right now I were preaching hard about going out and getting drunk, and I said a bunch of you went out and tied one on, you got drunk last night, and you're backslidden, you need to get right with God, there'd be a whole bunch of people right now saying, "Amen, preacher, come on, bring it on." I'm asking you, are you backslidden in regard to the way that you treat backslidden people? But there's not as many amens about that. There's a variety of ways of being backslidden. You used to be meek and want to help to rebuild the backslidden. Now you're just mean to them. Do you love the sinner and hate their sin, or have you developed a hatred for people? Do you hope that God punishes them? Now, God will discipline and God will punish. But the human race is not supposed to be walking around saying, I hope God kills them. I hope God gets them. Are you backslidden in regard to the way that you treat the backslidden? Are you arrogant and proud? Do you talk bad about them and to others instead of, hey, you want to do something for the backslidden people? Don't go around talking bad about the backslidden people. Why don't you go to God and pray for them? Do you not want them restored? You ever watched a Christian that virtually does not want another Christian restored? They'd rather they be punished. They'd rather their life be destroyed. What kind of Christianity is that? Where did you find that in the Bible? Are you mean to the backslidden and those trying to come back to God? Do the backslidden have two enemies now? You and the devil? Do you hope the backslidden stay backslidden and they're miserable? Are you backslidden about the way that you treat the backslidden? I was trying, it's been many months ago now, maybe what I'm about to tell you is what prompts this sermon. Many months ago, I was talking to a lady who had done something kind of dumb. She'd gotten backslidden. Some people in our church knew that she was backslidden. She'd come to my office to get help. She said, Preacher, I want to get right with God. I said, well, I want you to know, I want you to get right with God, and God wants you to get right with God, and our people want you to get right with God. She said, I'm not sure all of them do. She said, there's a couple people that I just think hate me by the way they're treating me. I've come back and I want to be back, but I feel hated. My heart was broken. My heart was broken. It ought not ever be that way. Remember, God said you might want to be careful how you treat the people who have fallen, because it could be you next. And you ought to treat people the way that you want to be treated. So the question is, are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Number two, are you backslidden enough that you're not even here to hear this sermon? Now you stay with me for a minute. Are you backslidden enough that you're not even in this building tonight? Isaiah 1:4, it says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backwards. Here's somebody who's virtually gone away. Gone away. Have you forsaken the house of God? And so, you know, I'm putting this point in here because there are people that eventually will hear this sermon who are backslidden. I've put this point in here, not necessarily for the people that are in the congregation tonight. This sermon's in here because somebody's going to end up listening to this sermon on the internet. Instead of listening it on the internet, they should have been in church. You can't, people have asked me, they said, Brother Owens, are you ever going to put our church services live on television or live on the internet or anything? I prefer not to, because I'm afraid people will stay home instead of come to church. And you're supposed to come to church. You're supposed to come to church. You can't replace watching somebody on TV for church for being in the local New Testament church. Maybe it's a miracle you're here tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're saying, I can't even believe I'm here tonight. That may be a miracle. But this point is, are you backslidden enough that you're not even here to hear the sermon? So I'm saying to somebody that maybe they're going to get this CD and they're going to hear this sermon, but they're backslidden and they should have been in church. Maybe someone in the congregation gave you this sermon. Maybe somebody loved you and very lovingly gave you this sermon and said, why don't you listen to this? And point number two in the sermon is for those that should have been here and they were not here. They're so backslidden. They're not coming to church anymore. They're not in church like they ought to be. And I say, are you so backslidden you didn't even show up to hear the sermon tonight? Did somebody that cared about you say, listen to this? Are you listening on the internet? Are you listening to a CD? Hey, maybe you're hearing this and maybe it's a week after it's been preached, or months after it's been preached, maybe years after it's been preached. Are you backslidden? This service is a Sunday night service. It's July 24th, 2011. And let me say, there are people that used to come to church on Sunday night and they're so backslidden, they don't come to church on Sunday night anymore. And maybe they'll get a hold of this sermon on being backslidden. And maybe they'll hear point number two, where they're going to have to face the fact they didn't even show up. Didn't even show up to hear it. Are you backslidden to the point that you didn't even get to personally hear the sermon? And so, the first question was, are you backslidden in the way you treat the backslidden? Second point, are you backslidden enough that you're not even here to hear the sermon on being backslidden? Thirdly, are you backslidden enough that you are confident about your backslidden condition? Confident. You are confident about being backslidden. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Here's somebody that is behaving foolishly, and that's what we do in our backsliding. We're behaving foolishly. Here it says, here's someone that's behaving foolishly, and it uses the word rageth. What does that mean? They are aggressively doing wrong, and they are boldly boasting about it. Are you personally backslidden enough that you're doing wrong and you're boasting about it? You're speaking up and letting it be known? It uses the words, but foolish, the fool rageth and is confident. So here's somebody that rageth, they're aggressively doing that wrong, and they're loudly boasting about it. Then it says, they're not only boasting about it, they're confident. That means they're cocky, they're proud, they're arrogant, backslidden and proud, letting it be known. Wow, that's pretty backslidden. Do you boast to your fellow backsliders about your condition? Do you boast to other godly people about your backslidden condition? Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from within. Are you so filled with your own ways that your heart is backslidden and you're in deep trouble? It means you're virtually proud of it. You're into your backsliding. Do you not fear God? Have you become so cocky that you don't fear the discipline of God? Do you rage saying, whatever God chooses to do to me, it's worth the fun I'm having? Oh, no, it won't be. When people rage and they're confident about their backslidden condition and they advertise it and they boast about it, get ready. God's mercy will run out. Get ready. God, the day will come when God will do as He promised. And God promised that He is going to chastise us if we're His children. So get ready. So, I ask first, are you backslidden in the way that you treat the backslidden? Secondly, are you backslidden enough that you're not even here in person to hear this sermon tonight when you could have been? Number three, are you backslidden enough that you're confident about your backslidden condition? And number four, are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? Are you backslidden enough that you have now changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, I know there's a lot of teaching in there and talking about salvation by grace through faith and other things. But let me give you a principle that's tucked in here. Someone's trying to change their original foundation. Somebody in that scripture, there's a concept being taught. Somebody's trying to change an original foundation. Note the words, not laying again the foundation. In other words, there was a foundation laid. Now they're coming along and saying, you know what, I think I'll relay my foundation. I think I'm going to change that. He's saying you're trying to change your original belief, so what you say now is not wrong. You say, well, Brother Owens, I used to believe that immorality was bad, but you know, I think I've changed my belief. What are you doing? You're trying to change the fact that you're backslidden. You're trying to change right to be wrong so that you can be right about your wrong. People do this all the time. Are you so backslidden that you have changed your definition of backsliding? You used to say a person who didn't tithe was a backslidden and they were a thief. Now you say it always has been an Old Testament expectation and not demanded in our day. I don't believe that. You used to. What happened? You can candy coat it all you want. You're backslidden, and so you're going through and redefining what you believe. You're trying to change the foundations of your belief. You used to say that drinking liquor as a Christian was an act of backsliding. Now you say it's okay as long as you don't get drunk. Backslidden people try to relay their foundations. What is it? It's an act of justification. You see, they try to relabel backsliding. They do it with their dress. They do it with their church attendance. They do it with their music. And on the list goes. I'll promise you, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been preaching for a long, long time. 35,000 sermons I've stood and preached. And I've watched people when they get backslidden. When they get backslidden, they decide eventually that they want to redefine what backsliding actually is so that they are not labeled as backslidden. What they used to believe, they no longer believe. And God didn't change, but you tried to change it. You're trying to justify your sin in your mind and in the minds of others. And so, are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? Number five, are you backslidden enough that you have backslidden even further from your backsliding? You say, well, that sounds like a lot of double talk. Well, you're in double trouble in this one. Are you backslidden enough that you have backslidden even further into your backsliding? Jeremiah 5:6 says, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Now stay with me and stay with the logic. Notice increased backsliding. You got away from God and you backslid to a certain level of sin. Now, you have slid even deeper into a lower level of backsliding. At first, you slid to a point that you thought you would never go. At that backslidden point, you said, I will never become that next level of backsliding. Now you are where you said you would never go, twice removed from where you once were. There's some of you that are in twice as deep as you ever dreamed that you would. There's some of you, you backslid and said, this is it. This is as far as I go. I'm never going to the next level. You're now looking back at the back level, wishing you were still as backslidden as what you used to be, because it's far better than how deep you're backslidden now. Right. Have you backslidden even farther from your backsliding, twice removed from where you once were? Isaiah chapter 1 verse number 28 says, and the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinner shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. See, what begins to happen when you get backslidden, your backsliding begins to consume you. It consumes you. Has your backsliding consumed you? Look at what you have allowed yourself to become. Look at it. For some of you, being a crummy Christian would be a step up right now. We're not trying to get you to pray an hour a day and read your Bible an hour a day. We're just trying to get you out of a terrible, wicked, vile pit that you have dug for yourself. You have backslidden enough that you even shocked the devil. Because he didn't think you'd go that far. My question was, are you backslidden enough that you have backslidden from your backsliding? Then, number six, are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding won't even affect you? Are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding is not even going to affect you? You've already turned me off. The minute we penetrated your mind, the minute we broke through a little bit, you said, oh boy, we better shut this down. I have to change a whole lot of things if I respond to this sermon. Are you backslidden enough that this sermon on backsliding won't even affect you? Romans 11:8 says, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Hey, do you have eyes that don't see? Are you not seeing things properly and spiritually? Do you have ears that don't hear? Jeremiah 5:3 says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they've not grieved. What that means? God spanked them. There are people in here, God has spanked you, but it didn't grieve you. He says, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Then he said, thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. That word consumed, it means you're suffering loss in your life. You're suffering loss of friendships. You're suffering loss of health. You're suffering loss of finances. You're suffering loss of peace. You're suffering loss of sleep. You're suffering all those losses, but you are backslidden enough. You refuse to let God correct you. God has stricken you. God has consumed the prosperity around you, but you refuse to return. It says there in that verse, let me read the entire verse to you. It says, O Lord, not thine eyes upon the truth. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Sometimes wish you could stand where I stand and watch the faces of people that are backslidden. Hard as a rock. Hard as a rock. The only expression is when they sneer and mock in their behavior with their facial expressions. The only effect this sermon would have on you is it'll make you mad. You will not see yourself realistically. You will not hear a pastor who loves you that's trying to warn you so you don't destroy your life. You refuse to be corrected. Your face is as hard as a rock. You refuse to return. Will you return from your backslidden ways? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, you know the illustration. What a nasty illustration. Have you returned to your vomit? Are you living in a backslidden way? You hear the sermon title that I announced this morning, Perverted Backsliding. Did you come back tonight not enticed to return from your backsliding? You came to scorn to see if this sermon will make your heart harder. Harder. Will you not return? Will you not come back to God? Are you so backslidden that a sermon like this will not affect you? It's not going to affect you in the slightest? Because you've redefined what backsliding is anyway. Yeah, well, the way you're living, it's not so bad. How bad could that be? But you've even backslidden from your backsliding. I love those words, perverted backsliding. Oh, the Bible's a powerful book. But I have some good news for you. There is good news for the backslidden. Hosea chapter 14, verse number 1 says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Here God says, I want you to return from your perverted backslidings. Then he said in verse number 4 of Hosea 14, he said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. God wants to heal your backsliding. He said, you return to me. See, you left him, you go back to him. But he said, I will heal your backsliding. He secondly said, I will love you freely. He said, I'll love you freely. Listen, backslider, God still loves you. God still loves you. That does not mean God condones your sin. There's so many people that get real comfortable in their backsliding because they hear their preacher preach on the love of God. They're living in sin and they know they're living in sin. They're saying, but you know, God still loves me. You're trying to comfort yourself with that. And God does still love you, but He does not love the way you're acting. He does not love the way you're living. He does not love the sin that you're allowing in your life. Sure, God loves you, but God may hate the way that you're living. He may hate that sin that you're allowing to destroy you. He said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. He said, for mine anger is turned away from him. You know something? Here God said, mine anger is turned away. You say, well, what does that really mean to you, preacher? It means God's anger is getting ready to be unleashed. He said, I can unleash my anger at any time. He said, but if you will return, I will help heal your backsliding. I will love you freely, and I can withhold my anger from being unleashed on you. Jeremiah 3:22 says, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. I say to the backslider, come back to God today. Come back to God today. Are you the backslider for whom God had me preach and prepare this sermon? Your God wants you to return to Him tonight. Your pastor wants you to return to God tonight. Your pastor wants you to come back to God. And the truly spiritual part of this congregation wants you to help you to overcome that fault that's overcome you. Everybody goes through some backsliding. Everybody does. You do, I do. There are always times we're not everything that we're supposed to be. I don't think everybody goes as deep into backsliding as others, but everybody has times when they don't live up to what they once were and they don't live up to God's expectation. But let's make sure that we're careful about this issue of backsliding. Don't let your backsliding keep you from using this old-fashioned altar. Don't let, hey, you say, Brother Owens, if I came forward tonight and I got my heart right with God, there would be somebody that would mock me and there'd be somebody that would look down on me. Well, let me tell you something. That somebody that would do that would not be right with God. They would not be right with their pastor, and they would not be right with about 98% of this congregation. Because that's not how we work around here. So don't you let one cause you to keep from coming back to your God. We are not here to condone your sin. We want you to get away from it. We want you to come back to God, get away from your backsliding. But we love you and we want you to do right. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I do not know who this sermon is for. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't have anybody in mind. I didn't preach this saying, well, this would be good for old so-and-so or old so-and-so. I just preached the sermon God told me to preach. That's all. Maybe you're backslidden about the way you treat the backslidden. I don't know. Is there somebody here tonight that would say, preacher, the sermon in a special way was for me? Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. It was for me. Lots of hands. Lots of hands. Whether you're in the balcony, whether you're on the lower floor, we're going to have a time of altar call. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. Why don't you come and let's take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never made public your salvation, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you're looking to join the church, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you may come. Maybe you have a burden. You can come for any reason. But let me say, I wish somebody would let God speak to their heart. Somebody's backslid and you need to come back to God. Somebody needs to come and rededicate your life. Maybe you need to make it public. I don't know. That will be up to you. Often it helps when you make public decisions. Somebody needs to come back to God. I hope that you'll obey God in doing so. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Young or old alike. Are you backslidden? Are you away from God tonight? Are you backslidden about the way you treat backslidden people? Maybe you need to come. Are you backslidden enough that you weren't even here to hear the sermon? Are you backslidden enough that you are confident about your backslidden ways? Are you backslidden enough that you have changed your stance on what it means to be backslidden? Have you backslidden even farther into your backslidden ways? Will this sermon on backsliding not even affect you? God wants the backslider to return. Wants the backslider to return. The Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. We'll help you to make public your salvation. Pastors, make sure you're receiving the people that come down the aisle. If they need something, make sure you're there for them. Don't just watch them walk by you. Somebody needs you. You make sure you're making yourself available. Been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, and you'd like to join membership with our church, we will invite you to come. Are you backslidden? Maybe you should thank Him. Through the song, please. One more.